Talk the Davis Cup. Is the Davis Cup a relic or is it a charm to be protected? There's a vote going on in Orlando. Ben Rothenberg, who you might know, he's always here for the Australian Open, a freelance writer for the New York Times, co-host of the NCR Tennis Podcast. He's rather gloriously keeping a spreadsheet on the votes. It's too good an opportunity not to be able to chat. Ben, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Thanks for having me.
Just give us the background, Ben, on what is at stake in this vote over the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, no, so there's some very major proposals being put on the ballot by the ITF here. Essentially a bid to radically overhaul Davis Cup as people know it, to make it mostly a competition that's held all in one neutral site for the top 18 teams each year, which is very different than the home and away ties, you know, four times throughout the year that have made up the Davis Cup for decades. There would still be a little bit of home and away element in this current format where there'd be a sort of play-in round held in February home and away, but it would mean a pretty big change to the competition and one that people have been calling for change to Davis Cup for quite a while, but I think this is a more extreme change than I think people were necessarily bargaining for initially.
Who's pushing for the change, Ben?
So there's a big split in tennis among some of the big Grand Slam nations. U.S. Tennis Association supports it. The French Tennis Federation supporting it, even though the French players have been very outspoken against it. And Australia's against it. And Britain just came out against it today. They've been pretty late to decide. Germany's also against it. But there's a ton of support because this deal was just being supported by an investment group in Europe called Cosmos, just led by the soccer player Piqué. There would be a big cash infusion to this event, and people, federations from the smaller countries, a bunch of African countries, South American countries, Central American countries, see this as a great opportunity to get investment in tennis in their respective countries and hoping that the trickle down there makes it worth it to have this pretty big change.
What sort of tension is there around the vote? I was watching your spreadsheets throughout the day in Orlando, just tracking where federations are going.
Yeah, but it's very close. I mean, if the ITF only needed a simple majority, it would be pretty straightforward they would win this. But they have to get two-thirds of the vote, which is a pretty high bar to have to clear. The way the vote is stacked, they have to bigger countries and more established tennis countries have more votes. So the four Grand Slam nations each have 12 votes apiece, and Germany has 12 votes apiece, whereas some of the medium-sized countries have seven or five, and then the smallest countries have one. So it's tough to rack together enough votes to clear 66-67%, which is what the bar that's set to make in the ITF constitution to make a major format change like this Davis Cup proposal would be.
Where do you estimate
the wire?
Yeah, where do you estimate the vote is now?
It's very, very tight. It's really too close to call, honestly. If I had to lean any direction, I would think that it would probably pass. The one sort of voting block that I haven't been able to get a good hold of so far is the Asian countries, which don't have the most votes, but there's quite a few of them, China, Japan, South Korea, Thailand, that have a medium number of votes. And if the no campaigners, the ones against this change, can split those, you know, anywhere close to 50-50, I think the no's will carry it, but that's where it's going to come down to. And it's interesting just having this big vote on these traditional Davis Cup, you know, histories and everything like that, which are very near and dear, especially countries like Australia, which with a lot of success in the past of the competition, sort of in the hands of these less established, less traditional tennis nations.
Have the great players made their thoughts known, Ben, as to what they would prefer?
Yeah, a lot of them are in favor of change. I mean, the main thing with Davis Cup is that most of the top players recognize that it has fallen and that it has lost a lot of its relevance in the world and that the top players just don't commit to playing it anymore. There have been quite a few weeks with barely any top 10 players who would have been available to play Davis Cup actually signing up to play in recent years. And it's just sort of lost a lot of its relevance. When France won the Davis Cup last year, they did so without having to beat any top 40 players on route to the title, which just shouldn't happen in a competition that once was so prestigious. So a lot of the players recognize the need for change, and some of them are happy to take this change too. Andy Murray this week said that he was happy to have Davis Cup change because it needed to change, and he would take almost any change. And then he said, even if this change is too much, then they can rethink it down the road. But he thought the status quo was sort of the worst option. Novak Djokovic said similarly. But there have been other players, particularly Australian players, who were very much tied into the tradition and the history and the legacy of Davis Cup there, who are much more reluctant to see it altered.
Is Australia clinging to an old idea, do you think?
I think there is certainly a lot of history, and Australian tennis is very proud of its history and its tradition and its past champions. I mean, Australia really put itself on the global sporting map through a lot of tennis excellence in the 50s and 60s, and beyond that, the names that are on big tennis arenas across the country sort of reflect that, and the pride in those players who helped build up the sport. And Tennis Australia does also have other irons in the fire, and they've been criticized by that and other tennis governing bodies. Tennis Australia started this Laver Cup competition, which is another men's competition, a very different format, but still one that somewhat competes with the Davis Cup in theory. And then there's another one that they're revamping to, this World Team Cup, which will be coming in 2020 to Australia and sort of the lead up to the Australian Open, superseding a lot of the current lead up events that are there now. So some people have pointed to Australia and say, yes, they obviously value Davis Cup, but there's a bit of double handedness here with how they have other stakes and other competing ventures as well.
Have you formed a personal view on what you think should happen, Ben?
Yeah. It's tough. I don't like a lot of the proposals, a lot of specifics in this proposal. The idea would be to have this tie, this big World Cup of tennis, this big summit, one neutral location in November, which would be tacked on to the end of the already too long tennis season. And a lot of, I can't imagine the attendance would be very good from players there who are already tired, who are already exhausted and don't want to add another event. But I'm sort of in the Andy Murray camp. I do think this current format, which has been there for decades, is outdated. It doesn't keep up with the sort of modern realities of the tour. And I would like to see some change. And I think that I'm up for trying anything in the short run. And to be reevaluated as soon as it's deemed unsuccessful, I think is probably a fair play to make.
So did you say 1 week in November, that would be the heart of the climax?
Yeah, that would be pretty much all of it. It would be the top 18 teams around the world, 16 teams, and then two wild cards would qualify for this neutral site 1 week. Round robin play at the beginning, and then quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, with just each tie now taking 1 day. So they'd play best of three matches instead of the best of five. Now it's best of five stretched out over 3 days. And this new format would be each head-to-head between the countries would be best of three condensed all into 1 day. So it's a very, very different format. Yeah. It really doesn't bear a whole lot of resemblance to the current Davis Cup whatsoever.
Would best of three give it enough gravitas, do you think?
You know, I think you have to do best of three if you're condensing it all into 1 week. Yeah. I don't think you can ask players to play back-to-back days for that much. So I think best of three is a necessary move if you are going to go into this condensed format. And there was actually a vote pretty recently, I think just last year actually, by the ITF, to just reduce general Davis Cup play to best of three. That was the one proposal made. And that got very close to passing. I think that got 64% of the vote, which was really pretty strong majority, but again, was short of this 2/3 that you need, 67. So that part, I think, is probably going to prove one of the less controversial parts of this plan. I think what really is a sticking point for a lot of countries is losing more of the home and away element of that. And having Davis Cup in a neutral site puts a lot of people off.
And can it work in November? So US Open, September, there's usually the tour end, which builds to some sort of climax, but sometimes the year tails at the back of the US Open.
No, the tennis calendar always loses a lot of steam after the US Open, for sure. I mean, that's kind of, at least in a lot of the public's imagination, who aren't a diehard tennis fan, that's kind of seen as the finish line of the tennis tour, naturally. And then there is the World Tour Finals in the men's final, which where the top eight guys go and play in London, but this would be the week after that even. And so a lot of the players would have previously had what would have been their final tournament of the year if they don't qualify for the top eight. Would have been 3 weeks earlier than this competition. So to ask them to take 3 weeks off in their already pretty short offseason and then ramp up for a team competition that's somewhere probably not all that near where their home base is, depending on where it'll be. And there's talk that it'll be in Europe for the first years of it at least. Could be a big ask. And I think that's the part of the proposal that I think is the most glaringly problematic about it. I think if they'd put it in one of the other Davis Cup weeks in the year, such as in February or in November, in April, I think it would be a much more digestible proposal for players and other stakeholders alike.
So, Ben, when's the final vote?
Final vote's coming up here in about 13 hours. At about 10 a.m. in Orlando, local time here. So it's pretty fast approaching. And it'll be interesting to see, and we should get the results of it pretty quickly. We won't know everything about who voted for what in the end. They don't reveal the total vote breakdown, but we will get the percentage that voted no and yes, respectively, and try to read the tea leaves from there.
Will you go out on a limb as we finish? Which way will it land?
If I had to pick right now, I think it will pass, but I really don't know. I mean, I just expect it to be close. I'd be very surprised if it was more than, if it lost or won by more than 5%, I'll say, in terms of the margin.
Good on you, Ben. I'll keep following your spreadsheets.
Thank you very much.
Ben Rothenberg, who's a freelance writer for the New York Times, co-host of the NCR Tennis Podcast, and on the line there from Orlando, Florida, as that vote goes down to the wire. So tomorrow morning we'll know whether the Davis Cup is consigned to history in the way that we've always known it. Australia is on the other side of the vote looking to retain what has always been. It does feel like, whether it's a relic, it certainly has diminished in the international consciousness, and there are years where the key players do front up and they carry much greater weight than the years that they don't. Australia has struggled to be in the main draw for a number of years now, going down to the wire, but the home ties don't quite create the energy that they used to. So will the Davis Cup survive? Australia on the no, don't change side of things, a two-thirds majority required to get the change that's the, I guess, the bigger and the more powerful nations are seeking.